Good morning. You listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Frank Hurd, who's Chief Operating Officer with the Carpet and Rug Institute. Frank, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Kemp. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. You're actually up in Washington today. You've been up there with a delegation of members to visit some senators and congress people. Isn't that right?
That's correct. We actually have been up here for the last 2 days visiting with the entire Georgia delegation, much of the Alabama delegation, Tennessee, South Carolina. We've actually reached out to some of the California delegation and even spread and talked to some folks from Florida.
Okay, so this is an annual trip, and this is one of the key things that the Carpet and Rug Institute does. I mean, I think your chief objective is to make sure that you eliminate any regulations that would get in the way of selling carpet in the industry. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. That's our objective. What we've done for the last 8 years is we've had these, what we refer to as a fly-in. We bring members of the Institute up to D.C. to meet with our representatives. In addition to that, we hold what we call a Friends of Georgia's reception on the first night that we're here, and we bring in Chick-fil-A, which is a great draw for both the staff and the members because they really enjoy the Georgia Fair.
Mm-hmm. Who comes to this? I mean, this year I think you had 10 or 12 or so.
Yeah, we had a real good representation this year. You know, we had members from, the carpet mills. We had Rick Hooper from Shaw Industries. We had Joe Foy from Mohawk, Larry Cook from BoU, Peter Bailey from J&J. In addition to that, we had Noel Black from Georgia Power, who came up with us as one of our key partners in the industry. Brian Anderson, who's president of the Chamber of Commerce for Dalton Whitfield. And we were really tickled to death that we had a gentleman called Patrick Royster, who is a carpet installer, carpet cleaner, who's a small businessman who joined us, who is a member of our CRI SOA program.
Okay.
A great addition, and obviously Werner Braun was up here with us, and we brought in Jeremy Stroop from CARE. Attended.
Okay. I went to the last Government Issues Committee meeting, and you developed, I think, four or five key items that you wanted to talk about. What were those items?
Yeah, the first thing we want to say is that, you know, that we're not seeing any of this economic recovery people are talking about, that the housing market still is in the doldrums, and we're tied closely to the housing market. Mm-hmm. And part of that is not just housing starts, but also the tightening of credit that is that's going on, which allows the existing home sales to falter. And until that recovers, we will not see a recovery within the industry. The other key issue and the underlying issue that we talked about is that what we needed was we needed some certainty in the regulatory and legislative actions that are going on in D.C. These have a major impact on trying to make business decisions when we look out 3 to 5 years when we don't have any kind of certainty as to what's going on. A classic example, and Noel Black from Georgia Power did a great job of explaining this to the members. In the energy area, we need a comprehensive national energy strategy. We don't need to stop start on drilling. We need to be able to look at all aspects of the energy policy, whether that's coal, natural gas, solar, wind, nuclear. We need to put it all together so that we can have a comprehensive energy policy, and the fact that when we have that, we will have steady energy prices, which makes business decisions for the long term doable.
Mm-hmm.
We also talked about some of the things that's going on with EPA, and it's again, it's this business of uncertainty that's going on, you know, with the climate change issue, with what EPA is doing. Nobody really knows, nobody's sure exactly what is going to happen, although they say they're going to go after the big emitters, but that's going to have some impact on us because the big emitters are generally the power companies, and again, that'll affect the fuel prices, which is a critical feedstock for the industry.
Okay. Talk about extended producer responsibility and some of the issues around that? Or
sure, we definitely did. We talked about extended producer responsibility. We talked a little bit about what's going on in California and how we've been able to, you know, work with the state of California, but we had a fear that, you know, the other states were going to enact similar legislation before we'd had an opportunity to, you know, figure out exactly how we're going to operate in California.
Mm-hmm.
And that if many, many states pick up the bandwagon and introduce legislation of this area, that we might need to be coming back to them and talking about the potential for federal legislation. We weren't asking for that.
Mm-hmm.
We were just alerting them to the issue and saying that, you know, this is a potential in the out years. If the trend continues is what's happening in California.
Okay. Do you think that most of the people recognize the magnitude of what flooring is from as far as American jobs and as far as this, the commerce level in the U.S.?
We emphasize that extensively, and surprisingly enough, a lot of people still don't appreciate the fact that the carpet industry is one of the last bastions of U.S. manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
The figure that we're pretty confident in is that about 98% of the carpet sold in the United States is produced in the United States.
Right.
And no, I don't believe there's any other industry that can say that.
No, that's right. Just while I've got you, along the lines of this California AB 2398, is there any other activity there? Is that moving along? Is that in place?
Yeah, the AB 23 is moving along very well from the perspective we have two internal teams in the industry, one that's working on the communications aspect and one's working on the accounting implementation aspects of how we're going to collect, account for, and distribute the funds once we get them. The communications team is looking at how do we make sure that every manufacturer, every mill, every distributor, retailer understands what the requirements are in California. Some things that have gone on is that at least with the major mills, they've had Salesforce training so that they can go out and be able to answer and talk to the retailers and that they understand what's going on with the bill. We're in an extremely tight time frame. It's going to start on July 1, but I'm optimistic that we're making really good progress and that we're going to be ready for it when it happens.
All right, so starting July 1, when a consumer walks into a retail store in California, they're going to pay a nickel a yard fee toward the reclamation of the product after its life. Is that right?
That's correct. They're going to, and it's called a carpet stewardship assessment.
Mm-hmm.
is the term that we're using to do it, and it's actually an after-tax item, so it's not a taxable item.
Right.
That will be used to incentivize the recycling of post-consumer carpet in the state of California.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, if you run the numbers, it's less than $5 for the typical purchase. So.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's not an onerous number when somebody spends, you know, $5,000 to $7,000 to $10,000 for purchase, we're tacking on $5 additional.
Especially when you consider, say, with batteries or tires, the fees that they've gotten or that they've got in place. You know, take a battery. I think a battery's $10 for the core, and it's that one small box. And so, you know, if you think about the bulk of carpet, it's a reasonable fee.
We think it's a reasonable fee, and what we're working on, and I think this is where we're unique to the battery folks or the tire folks, is that we're trying to make the marketplace work. We're not trying to sit down there and use this fee to pay for the entire cost. What we want to do is incentivize those areas where the recycling of post-consumer carpet is most effective.
Yeah. Okay, great, Frank. Well, I appreciate you updating us. I was impressed that you guys went up there and we're having these great meetings. I've been talking to Frank Hurd, who's the Chief Operating Officer with the Carpet and Rug Institute, and you've been listening to Kemphar and FloorDaily.net.